wisdom and the depth of the Torah is of such a nature that we can't understand it to the nth degree, and even if we don't understand it to the nth degree so fully, we follow what it says in the Torah. There were exceptions in terms of a prophet making a provisional change in an emergency situation. There were exceptions where the rabbis of the Talmud could make certain decrees or certain rabbinic things, but they could never make a provisional change even. To change the Torah per se, they couldn't. They could only ensure and add safeguards, but you can't really change, even they can't change anything. But after the Talmud is finished, it's closed. That's it. There's nothing for us to change. Now, that's not 100% true, because after times the Talmud comes the idea of custom, which is even a lower level. It's a lower level. It doesn't carry the same weight. For example, the Talmud says if you violate a rabbinic law, it's as bad as violating a biblical law in certain ways. Why? Because the Torah says you have to follow what the rabbis tell you to do. And they even go so strong to say that in heaven you're deserving of death for not listening to that. Right? But let's say a custom. What do we mean by custom? Custom, we would say not to eat gebrucks on Pesach. Right? That's a custom, to not have matzah and water. It's a custom. That's a custom. So we have a rule. Minag Yisrael Toiri. Customs are also important. They don't carry the same weight. If you violate a custom, you're not going to get punished by God for it, although it's not a proper conduct. You know, but still, that's a minute. Okay, so we're not going to, we don't change it. It's just a further strengthening, because we were weaker, so the rabbis went a little bit further. But it doesn't have the same weight, because the Talmud was sealed. But they figured it's for our betterment. Okay? But generally, after that point, there's nothing else to do. So now a person could think to himself and say, boy, the fun is all over. There's no room to make up anything up on your own. You know, okay, well, what am I going to do? It's all been done for me. So Reb Chaim is saying, no. He's saying the strength that every mitzvah has in terms of changing the person or in terms of changing the world around the person that he's connected to that, it happens because of the mitzvahs that you do, not because of the understandings of that you have in the mitzvahs. So if you approach a mitzvah and you say like this, personally, I don't understand why I should be doing this mitzvah. Right? I don't understand what the significance of this mitzvah is. Okay? That will still not detract from the effect that the mitzvah can have upon himself or upon the world that he's connected to. Now that's a very big trap. It's a very big spiritual trap where people say, if I don't understand it, I don't see why I should do it, and I'm not doing it. And Reb Chaim is saying, no, the primary effect that a mitzvah has for a person is in the performance of it, not in the fact that he's in tune with it and being able to swallow it up. No. We've got to leave the last paragraph to finish what's bothering you. But you want to fix the world? You want to make the world a better place, the spiritual world? Do the mitzvahs. You don't understand it? You're still fixing it up. And you still are accomplishing a lot. So the fun in innovation, determining what is it that makes the world go round. Yeah, we don't have that. But the ability to still change worlds and make the worlds be what they're meant to be is in everybody's hands. We're still very powerful. Okay, that's the tension that Judaism has gone through in the last millennia, where people felt, you know, we got to make real changes in Judaism, right? And that's what they feel, people will feel connected with it. And that's what I'm saying is not true. The connection is the fact that just follow the game plan. But it takes a tremendous degree of effort to follow the game plan. You know, it's like in football, you know, you have these coaches who come with new ideas, new ways. You know, when Hank Stram came up with his new defense, you know, when the AFL beat the NFL, this is going way back, the AFL beat the NFL the first Super Bowl. So Hank Stram came up with this, he was the coach of, was it the Oakland? Kansas City Chiefs. He came up with a whole new way of defense, and the team couldn't handle that defense. They lost. You know, it sounds like innovation. It's an innovative coach, you know. But a guy like a Barry Switzer type of coach, what does he do? He says, you practice fundamentals, good blocking, good hitting, good execution, nothing fancy. And they win Super Bowls that way, too. No, you have to have the talent, obviously. But I'm saying, you have teams where it's nothing fancy. We're going to run the ball right through you, you know, but we're going to execute, you know, and you're not going to have anything fancy. And you win Super Bowls that way, too. So that's the idea. So in the times of the Talmud, you had the Hank Stramps. They were able to come up with new innovations that were necessary. You know, that's an excitement there. Now it's a question of execution. And there's a thrill in being able to execute properly. You know, that's a thrill in that too. You know, you have to make a big party, a dinner party. So some people get a thrill out of coming up with something different, right? Which could make a party great. Sometimes if you just do everything and do it well, it could be a nice party too. Right? Question? We're not leaving till we finish this paragraph. But go ahead.
You do it because it is a mitzvah of God.
Okay, that's a danger that can happen, but that's true. Well, there's no, you had many Jews who were simple, quote unquote, simple Jews that I'm doing the will of God. And for me, that's very satisfying, that I'm doing the will of God. And they knew they were doing the will of God. If you get to the point where you're not even doing it because it's the will of God, it's mitzvahs and it accomplishes. Now, it might not be doing things for you personally, but it still is accomplishing. You know, it's like you put a person in front of the computer, right? The keyboard. You say, press these buttons. That is the famous parable I heard, right? You're in front of this keyboard. You know, closed room, no windows, just the keyboard. You don't know what the keyboard's connected to. It's connected to the entire electrical power system in the city of New York. And you're told it at 8 o'clock, press this button, at 8:15, this button, that button. You don't know what's going on, but the guy says, you do this, the city of New York will run. You press the buttons, it runs. Okay, and that's what's happening when you're doing the mitzvahs. You're pressing the buttons, and it's getting done. Now, wouldn't the guy like it much more if he could see what's happening? Huh? So, sometimes God's very nice. What he does is, so that keeping the parable, the owner, if he doesn't want you to get bored, when you press the buttons the right way, it creates a beautiful musical note, and you get a great symphony that comes. This button, you're going to play Beethoven's Fifth, comes out when you press it this way. If you make a mistake, it'll go off tune. So you'll have a good time while you're pressing the buttons. Right? This is a little bit of what mysticism is. Have a little good time when you're pressing the buttons, although you still don't really know what's really going on. But it just feels good, and that's what he really concludes with. Last paragraph. You hear the prayer? It's a good example. Umish, last paragraph. Umish, as he called Yisbarach Shemo. And if someone has merited that what? From Hashem. Lahasig nistaros, to understand the hidden mysteries of Torah, Seinu HaKadosh of our Holy Torah. Asher Yishiranu Lanu Baracha Kadishin El Yonim Chachmei HaTalmud, which the great, holy rabbis of Talmud left bequeathed to us such a blessing. Kagon Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, V'chavir Rav HaTalmidov, those great students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Vishishos in Maimov, but Doiris Achronim, and those who drink in his waters in later generations, Komo Harav HaKodesh Ishu Alokim Noro HaArizal, as the holy Arizal. Asher Heiru Einenu Bitsas, Tame Vekavonos HaMitzos, which enlightened our eyes a little bit to the reason and the intentions of the mitzvahs. Why have they done that? So that everyone can ponder and understand each one according to his mental capacity. Ad heichan magin kol prote maso v'diburov u'machshivos v'chol inyonov b'alamos v'akoches olyon v'atachtonim. In order that person should realize how far-reaching are the details of every one of your thoughts, actions, and speeches in terms of how they impact in the higher worlds. That's why they told us a little bit of the reasons. V'yispael v'yisar mizeh, so we should be inspired and awakened from them. Lasos l'kayim kol mitzvah, in order to do all the mitzvahs. V'chol inyonei avodas l'boris baruch shemo, and all the various acts that are done for the Almighty. And we'll do it b'tachlis hadiktuk, with the ultimate of precision, ube'ema v'yira v'ava atzuma, and with tremendous awe, fear, and love, ubiktusha v'taras alev, with holiness and purity of heart. Why will you do it? Because if I know all these things are affected by what I do, I'm going to try to make the product of activity as pure as possible. Okay, v'yidei zeh yigrom tikunim yoser gedolim b'olamos, and that will make greater and greater perfections of the world. Me'im hayu makayim mitzvah below kedushas v'taras hakavana, as opposed to if you're doing without the proper purity of intent. So what Reb Chaim is saying over here, very important, saying the entire purpose of all Kabbalistic literature was so that people who would learn these secrets of the Torah would have a deeper appreciation of how significant human actions and human mitzvahs are. It's not as if to say that the foundation of the performance of mitzvahs was contingent upon the understanding. No, because there's no understanding that's contingent in terms of the performance of mitzvahs per se. The mitzvahs are mitzvahs, and what they accomplish is in their physical action. But the purpose and the function of these deep mystical insights into the Torah is to put the person in tune to what is behind it all. What is the, you know, and what does that accomplish if you're in tune to it? It brings the person closer to a deeper commitment to the mitzvahs. If you understand how significant your actions are, how meaningful your actions are, how far-reaching your actions are, it makes your entire mitzvah performance more compelling. Okay? But the effects of the mitzvahs are almost entirely based on the fact you have to do them. It's a very fascinating concept, what Reb Chaim is saying over here. If you want to put the whole attitude of what Judaism has to say, the Jewish attitude towards mysticism in a nutshell, is you can say it in one sentence. Your understanding from a mystical point of view will make the reality of your mitzvahs a more compelling factor in your life. That's what it is. In other words, the fact that you sit under a tree and meditate about some mystical concepts of a mitzvah, but if you're not at the level of utilizing that way that the mitzvahs become more compelling in your life, then you're not ready to learn that mysticism. The function of the mysticism is when it becomes a compelling reality in your life. That's what it's trying to accomplish. Okay? Now, there's a tremendous danger when it's not understood that way. And it can come from one of two sides. It could be that if a person, he does get a deep understanding, let's say, of how he's connected to the world and how everything he does makes a difference. Let's say he understands all that, yeah? He learns it all. Oh, I see what this mitzvah says. But he's not prepared to take that knowledge and make it into a compelling factor to do his mitzvahs. Okay? Then it means now, whatever he does or doesn't do from that point of view, which is incorrect, has a much more ill effect upon the person. Because the person now knows what he's doing. He knows how far-reaching his actions are, and he's still not ready to perform it, then how destructive is his actions? And he knows how destructive his actions are. It makes him, instead of one who's ignorant, it makes him fully knowledgeable of how destructive he is to the world, and he's still doing it. So if you're not in a position where you're prepared to have that knowledge, make it compelling for you, to translate it into action, right, then it's very dangerous. It's more destructive. As long as you don't know what you're doing, it's not as destructive. It is, but not as. But now that you know, it's much worse. Okay, that's number one. Number two problem, it's the flip side of the coin. But if a person has this deep understanding of that, what compels him to do it, we do run a risk from the other side. You know what the risk from the other side is? That it could be that he'll only do it when he's compelled. I understand it really well, I do it. This one I don't understand really well, I don't do it. So there's a problem from both ways. In other words, the attitude you have to have is, I want to do everything God wants me to do. But I want to be in tune with it. I want to really feel that I'm accomplishing. Right? That the guy's hitting the keyboard all day long. Okay, I'm supposed to do it. But after a while, you know, like you said, it turns into robotic action. I want it to be more meaningful. So what does God do? He teaches a little mysticism. He says, you know what? You're going to now hear and sense the music you're playing. Ah, now it keeps me going. But are you only doing it because it plays music now? Or how about you know what beautiful music it plays and now you still don't want to do it? The mysticism still never tells you the real truth. The real truth is you're lighting up the whole city of New York, but you don't see that. What you really are accomplishing with all the mitzvahs in the most profound way, you'll never know. That's what Reb Chaim says. Mysticism gives you a real good understanding, at least on the limited human perspective you have, which will make the mitzvah observance much more compelling. Okay? But if you have any of those other two problems, it becomes a very dangerous game to play. You're not prepared to advance in mitzvah observance, okay, but then you have a problem.
That's why they're against the Kabbalah.
That's why in general they're against these ideas. In other words, learning Kabbalah should be based on these considerations that we talked about, of a person being in pace with his knowledge. And at the same time, not overpacing himself either and assuming that everything is based on the knowledge alone. That's you got to be very careful. So to the degree that you're ready to be paced with that, then you can get involved. To the degree you're not, and it's not going to be a compelling factor, that person should be holding himself back. Like if after you go through a whole gate, right, and it can't make your mitzvah observance go up a notch at all, you know, then it's a little bit problematic. Now, we're not saying it's to transform you into a 180-degree, totally different person. But if it doesn't make you think twice before you do something that you know is wrong, then it's had no effect. That's what he's saying is the whole idea of what learning mysticism is all about. We just left the last line. Omnam bat ha'ikar v'chola mitzvahs le'ikuvah, the main sine qua non to all mitzvahs, who prate ha'maisa shebehem. You gotta do them. Do them down to the finite details. Now, a person might want to appreciate, why do I have to do this little detail? Why, when I wrap the tefillin, do I do once here and once here and once there? And why do I have to wrap it to look with that kind of letter? Well, if you know what it is, and you know how far-reaching the effects, even for this little point of the mitzvah, oh, you're going to take awfully good care because you know there's a world up there that's hinging on how you do this little thing. Okay, that makes it a much more compelling. You understand why? Yeah, well, I got to do it because it says, well, so a little more, a little less, what's the difference? No, I want to know. If I know what every little thing does, it makes it, I'm going to be really careful. You know, someone explains to you, get a new job. Well, you know, we're on the live, or do it this way. Yeah, okay, he says, do it this way, I'll do it a little different. No, if you do it this way, look what happens. You go and break a reflector somewhere, someone falls, gets killed two blocks down the road. Oh, I better be careful. Right? If you understand what okay, we're not even getting into real Kabbalah, this book. I mean, I'm talking about the real heavy stuff here, that every little thing, what's riding and every little thing. Okay, that's the Kabbalah he's referring to. But it becomes a real compelling thing. He's giving you a general vision. Look how much power you as a human being have and what you can do to the world based on your thoughts, speech, and action, how everyone's so important. Right? But even if you don't understand it, that you gotta do the mitzvah. You could think all day long, well, I understand what these mitzvahs are gonna do, so that's good. No, you gotta do it. That's what makes you a human being. Nobody else is a human being. Nobody else can do it. Angels can't do. You can do. Doing, number one, of course, if you understand, it's it's going to make the service better. No, but you, this is where he's getting to the Hasidim over here. The Hasidim is spending hours understanding what every word in the prayer is going to do for them. Right? But by the time they get around to do it, the time has passed. The time's finished. It's not morning anymore. It's not afternoon anymore. So you haven't done the mitzvah. You're doing it at the wrong time. So what have you accomplished? You've got to do it. I'll have a little less concentration too, but as long as you have in mind to do the mitzvah, period. No, I got to know every little clean out every more. I'm going to eat matzah, and that means I have to understand reality, and I've got to go through every part of illusion in my life to clear out, to get the total reality. It's going to take hours. And you're not going to come to that till the next morning. You can eat the matzah in the morning. It's too late. You missed the boat. You got to do the mitzvah. You got to press the key. You got to, if you don't press the key, nothing happens. And that's what Reb Chaim is such a stickler on. And he says, he's not telling you not to learn mysticism. He's saying the mysticism will make it a compelling reality in life. And then you won't be bored and it won't be a robotic service. But you got to do it. And that becomes the fitting way to end the chapter. Now, question?
If I can afford to read it.
Okay. It depends which ones you're talking about. No, it's a big difference. Eating kosher is what kind of mitzvah? Right. Bottom line is, eat kosher, you've done the mitzvah. It makes it better. Yeah, but it's still accomplished. It's done and you've fixed worlds. You have fixed worlds. It can help it more. Remember, every thought works on a world as well. But the bottom line is you got to have the action. The action affects worlds. You want it to have a better effect? Fine. In other words, it makes it better. Yes. There's different levels of worlds that are only affected with the thought. Correct. But if you don't do the action...
No, I'm talking about doing the action.
Okay.
But
start with the action. Yeah, and it'll make your action a more compelling action. But yeah, obviously you want to get there eventually.
My point is if you don't understand or you can't develop a feeling for the action...
Okay, Well, I'm doing it because God wants me to, and I love God, and I want to do things that God wants me to do, and I'm really into it. I don't know all the mystical reasons behind it. But I know this is what God wants me to do, and this is the way I express my love to God. And that is definitely an area of thought.
Yeah, it is.
Now, it could go higher.
Yeah,
but you have definitely fulfilled your requirement, and God isn't going to come after you or anything.
What I'm saying is,
as much as is capable, yes. Not everybody's got it up there to go so deep. Not everybody. But you got to want as far as you can go. But number one, do it. That's what he keeps. But you got to do it, right? Now, in other words, it's not like some Jews say, "When I understand it, then I'll do it." Because otherwise I'm a hypocrite. Reb Chaim's saying, no. You do it first. Doing it changes worlds. Now, of course, don't live that way forever, for goodness sake. Learn, study, learn it deeper.
He was saying to do it, that's it, you don't have to know.
No. He's saying that's the starting point. He says, he's obviously saying that... if you're going to understand it more, you will cause greater perfections in the world than if you would do it without it. But you've got to do it. He was going up against the thinkers of the world. I think, therefore I am. Big philosophy. Judaism says, I do, therefore I am. That's the Jewish philosophy. And after I do, I start to think too. So that's a Jewish philosophy. That's the idea, not so an issue. But that's critical. But a lot of people will resist and say, if I don't understand, I'm not going to do it. What are you talking about? Let's be sincere. Not sincere. And they think that's not true. You start. You start and you do it. Now, what you learn more will become more compelling. But you got to start. You got to do it. With this, so this first gate basically is the overall compelling reason to do the service of God. God willing, next week we start the second gate, which will be totally focused on the concept of prayer. And he's not going to really get into any specific prayers at all. But the overall game plan of prayer, unlike, you know, unfortunately what's been happening in the community the last week or so, has a lot of people thinking about people were praying and praying for this woman to survive, and she didn't. And a lot of tragedies have been happening, right? And a lot of people have the wrong idea of what they're praying for. They don't understand what prayer is supposed to accomplish. So Reb Chaim is going to give you a very beautiful understanding of what prayer is all about. God willing, over the summer, we'll be able to finish that game too. And have someone's birthday sometime in summer. Okay.